Welcome to Sample Size Podcast, the fashion and entertainment hangout produced by Sample Size Media. You can support us by giving the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leaving a review, or by following us everywhere on social at Sample Size Media. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. And we're back with another episode of Sample Size Podcast. My name is Noelle, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Jaden.
Hey, dolls.
And our producer, Tone.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
All right, we're back. Season 2, episode 2, year 22.
Yep, 2-2-2. You and me. What did whatever that lady said?
Whatever the numerology girls be saying.
Yeah, T. Oh, do not disturb. We're not cutting this out.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I'm glad we got it done in the beginning of the episode.
Listen, I have a sample size focus. So whenever I'm recording, I put it on. The only people that can reach me are you two.
Yeah.
Everyone else, sorry, girl. I missed you.
Yeah, I live in my work focus where it's just LinkedIn and Twitter.
Yeah.
That's it.
LinkedIn. That's funny.
Well, yeah. How have you been?
I've been good. Just living life. It's currently New York Fashion Week.
Oh my God. The madness has begun. Do you feel kind of just like a little apathetic to it all? A little like.
Yeah. I don't know about you. Should we say that?
No. Yeah. It's just, let's be honest. Like it feels like a little less sparkly than it did last year.
I agree. Like compared to like spring 2022 in September, that like was everything. And I don't know if it's about the shows that are being presented or because like in September we were like, COVID's gone, but now we're like, oh, COVID is still here.
It feels like everyone is moving very hesitantly instead of kind of like fully indulging in like the madness that is New York Fashion Week.
Oh, definitely. So it feels very weird, but you know, there's some interesting shows I'm excited to see. So I think maybe something will gag me.
Yeah, there's always like the one like underdog up and comer show that like you never expected, and I feel like that's what we all look forward for. Like there's like Fashion Week staples. Like you always know you're gonna get like a fun Christian Cohen show. You're always gonna get a fun show from the Blondes. But I feel like New York Fashion Week really is about finding who's next, as opposed to like the other countries, which is like just displaying what's the current talent.
That's a good point. I like that point. I think you're right.
That's like the whole conversation about like New York Fashion Week being over. I think that's really predicated on like not enough emerging or new designers coming out of it. And like we're getting more emerging and new designers from all over the world now. But we are going to get into a little bit of the history of Miss Fashion Week, of New York Fashion Week specifically in this episode.
And we're going to talk about American designers. So
yes, we are continuing our Black History Month Light series. I think that's it's fair to call it Black History Month Light because
I agree.
Yeah, like I don't know, because when you're Black content creators, all of your content tends to be focused on us anyway. So it's never like we're intentionally talking about it. We're always talking about it.
Yeah, it's always gonna be Black History Year. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. But before we get into the main topic, any updates, personal life, love life, career, mental health,
trash, health, let's not get into that, that's a little too personal. Love life, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I don't got no Valentine's.
So girl.
If anyone wants to say they love me,
it's too late. It's too late.
This episode will come out after Valentine's Day, so you missed your chance.
But you know what? I do still feel like it's recruiting season for like a summer fling, like a good 3 month summer fling. I'm feeling it. Like I feel like everyone is gonna be skin out this summer. It's gonna be wild
for
so.
You. Listen, let me say
for you.
I'm gonna say something. Noel stays with a piece. That's all I'm gonna say. Expose it.
Allegedly. Because I'm like, what are you setting me up for, bitch? I don't like. you know something that I don't know? Like,
yes. No, my sister is fine. My sister is smart. So,
girl. Oh, can we talk about how Tone homophobically cut out my coming out story on the last podcast?
Wait, I forgot.
Can we talk about the lesbian phobia that I experienced last episode?
Okay. I mean, you know, the language against heteros, I felt like it was safe for us.
not a revenge crime, not a revenge hate crime.
Hate crime.
Wow.
I completely forgot that you came out on, like, I forgot you came out on last episode.
Did I really come out, or was it just like me stating the obvious? Like, I feel like my closet was, yeah, babes, like shiny, polished glass closet. Like, no one is shocked.
No, but
yeah, if you are, you know, currently employed by the WNBA or like the USA, like national volleyball team, like, hit me up. I'm single, ready to mingle. And ready to fall in love with you for 3 months of this summer.
I love that for you.
Three months only, though. I don't know if I can do more of a commitment.
I don't know. I'm ready to be like life of a wife.
No. What's your face in the video?
Yes, life of a wife.
Life of a wife. Yeah,
I'm ready for that.
I don't know. Good luck. That's what I feel like. All my friends who date men, all I can say is good luck.
Yeah.
God bless.
Nothing else I can do about it.
And this will be cut out as well, just so you know.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said this part was going to be cut out. The hate speech against men.
It's not hate speech. First of all, me saying good luck is much nicer than what I would have normally said. Okay?
But like, as a man who dates men, like, men, am I the drama as well?
You know, like, yes.
Am I the problem?
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I don't know. Dating women is not as easy as people, like, I don't know. I feel like I was lied to. I didn't get an instruction manual or anything. It's difficult because women have, like, good jobs, and they're pretty, and they smell good, and they're smart. So it's like, I can't usually, you know, I can't use my, like, evil witch powers on that.
Yeah, just had to get smarter. I don't know. Place a hex. I know a few witches.
I know. I have to step my, like, bruja up this summer.
Exactly. All right. But we're going to take a quick break and we can get back into the main topic.
All righty. Bye.
All right, everyone. And we're back. On today's episode, we're going to discuss the Battle of Versailles, the night American fashion designers and black models proved they were here to stay and take over. All right, first, what do you guys know about the Battle of Versailles?
I know nothing. I'm always here to learn, so this is going to be fun.
Okay, Noelle. Fair enough. We expected as much from you.
See, that's the part I don't like, is the expectation of me not knowing nothing.
I was like, actually just going to defend you and say that I only know about this because I saw a TikTok on it. So,
okay, yeah, so
I know as much information as that 30 seconds provided me. But yeah, from what I understand, it was kind of like a fashion one-night competition. Where it was giving USA versus the UK. And I know the black girls stormed.
The black girls did storm, as always.
I'm excited to hear about it.
So you're close with, you said, like, the USA versus the UK. It was versus, like, Europe, like the French specifically. Okay, I have another question. Have you guys ever heard of Eleanor Lambert?
I have not, omitting the 30-second clip that I watched about this topic in the YouTube video.
Yeah,
but no, tell us who is Eleanor Lambert?
So Eleanor Lambert was like a fashion PR, the fashion PR girl of like the 30s to the 70s. Honestly, like Anna Wintour, but like better without the bob. No shade, Anna. I know I want a job with you. Basically, she was a fashion publicist, and she is the person who created New York Fashion Week, the Met Gala, the international, like, best dress list. Like, everything that we hold dear, like, she was responsible.
Yeah, that's crazy to, like, to think that we're going into this story and to accidentally run into someone who's such an impactful figure in history, like, that is literally, like, the lineup of the most important institutions in fashion. And that's, like, the fact that that was her, one person's brainchild is crazy.
Insane. Like, I knew, obviously I know about the history of these things, but I never, like, pieced together that it was, like, one person who did all that.
Yes. That's a, you never think, like, oh, this was, like, something that was organized mm-hmm. by, like, a committee and human beings. And, like, they decided that, you know, this was the best way to move units, baby. We need to have these spectacle events.
Kind of, like, icon methinks. Yeah. But Eleanor's, like, main focus as, like, a PR agent was to get, like, American designers on the map. That was her, like, main career mission. Because at the time, what was happening is fashion at the time was all about, like, Europe. And, like, the Europe mm-hmm. dolls, they were, like, storming. Like, when you have, like, the Balenciagas, when you have, like, the Givenchy, like, everything was coming from Europe and, like, French designers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was, like, the sentiment, like, for forever, right? That, like, Europe is the fashion capital of the world. And yes. I feel like people still try, like, that is still, like, a very hot debate. Like, what city is the fashion capital of the world? Like, do you have, what's your answer? Because I feel like we have the same.
No, let's give your answer first.
Wait, let's say at the same time, ready?
What city?
Let's say at the same time, ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, London.
New York.
Bitch?
I think. I think because of, like, the culture of fashion that, like, moves, so many trends are reflected from what happens in New York City. And yes, the designer, like, London has such a heavy amount of designers.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, on the streets, they're not creating trends in London.
Yes. Okay. I think that's a fair distinction. To me, London, I like the designers that come out of London. I like the ideas that come out of London, but, like, the actual reflection and, like, the predictions of where the industry are going, that's all, like, developed and reflected in New York. Because, like, I mean, London street style is pretty, like, up there too. Yes. But honestly, I don't even think New York is top three for street style anymore.
Maybe not anymore, no, but it was at one point, so I think it's still, we still have to, like, give the girls. But, like, because when I think of Fashion Week, no other Fashion Week, I feel like, is as big as New York Fashion Week.
As
far as, like,
we haven't been over the pond yet, friend.
Okay, you're right.
We can't give that determination.
That's very true, but I think when I'm, like, as, you know, some Shampoosh Media's, like, covering social covering of a lot of the fashion weeks, the energy of, like, New York Fashion Week, like, just online, is different from, like, Paris or London.
New York is the backbone of fashion culture, I would say. Like, it's the epicenter for that. But I do think, like, in terms of the other aspects, the other cities are creeping up, if not have already overtaken New York, if we're being completely honest.
I mean, I agree. I see that because, you know, when people, not many designers who are American, like, stay in New York.
Yes, true.
They go, if they're going to become, like, your creative director of another brand, it's a European brand.
Yes, absolutely.
So it is tea.
New York is kind of like the incubator for American talent. If you can make it here, then you're going to get plucked for a bigger position elsewhere.
Yes, but it wasn't always like that. Like, at one point, New York in this time of, like, the 60s and 70s, it was like, oh, you guys are, like, the rinky-dink little designers. It was, like, all about Europe and, like, France. They were, like, create the trends. They were the designers. At that time, even, like, it was a known fact that American designers, like, copied from France. Yeah. And they were paid to do so. Like, they were making contracts to be like, all right, let me steal your design and let me put it in some, like, the department stores.
That's crazy.
That is.
It, to think, like, especially just, like, of course, from our perspective, to be, like, so pressed over European designers where, like, you're literally creating a job lane of stealing from them. Mm-hmm. It's like, you, like, that would never even be a thought. It's always been, in our experience, we've always seen, like, the reverse where Europe is being contracted to steal from everywhere else. But
especially crazier because now, like, the idea, well, we know, we've talked about, like, how hard intellectual property is to, like, just protect. Yeah. And now, like, people are, like, going to war. Miss Diet Prada has, like, a career off of, like, bitch. overclocking, like, references.
This Black History Month, I really need y'all to stay out of nigga business.
Honestly, like, PSA, Diet Prada, stop it.
Please, stay out of Negro business. That's all we want.
So unnecessary. We don't even have to get into it, because if you know,
how
you
many
know.
Niggas are on your team? Show me the Carfax. How many niggas are actually on that team? But... another tangent for another day.
-2.
Right. Ghost.
Ghost.
But yeah, let me not derail your beautiful topic with my tangents.
But Eleanor Lambert had a mission to, like, put the U.S. on the map, like, prove that, hey, these designers are here to stay. And at the time, the Palace of Versailles was, like, crunchy, dusty, like, disgusting.
Yeah.
So she's like,
repair.
Hey doll, hey curator, we can team up, we'll do a fundraiser event. But in the back of her mind, she's like, oh no, my girls are gonna storm.
Yeah.
Which
she had another agenda.
She had an agenda. Sneaky queen. I wonder what her sign was.
Yeah. It was just my sign. Like, do we know her birthday?
I did it. Can someone quick tone as a producer, can you quickly Google Eleanor Lambert's birthday?
Ask Miss Google.
Ask Miss Google Anna. I have no clue, but honestly. Yeah.
So she was very smart, and what I appreciate is that, like, again, this was the era of theatrics. So instead of just hosting a little benefit dinner, mm-hmm. a little gala, she said, baby, we're gonna put on a show.
We're gonna put on a show. I'm gonna get my five. August 10th was her birthday, her birth year date.
So whatever. what is that zodiac sign?
I'm only a fake astrology girly. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know anything.
Because I thought I know some of them. I know, like, the ones of my birthday and, like, the people I've kind of talked to.
I know, yeah, my chart, and yeah, exactly, the people who are interested in sleeping with me. Exactly. Those are the charts that I know.
But
Leo, for those invested.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say too much.
I don't know nothing about Leos.
I do, and they're gonna get me if I say too much. They scary. But anyway, Eleanor made her team of bad bitches. She's like, okay, for this gala, we're going to do 5 American designers and 5, like, European designers. For the U.S. team, wait, the Super Bowl is Sunday, so I feel like I'm creating a little, like, what do you call it?
This is very much the Super Bowl of fashion.
Super Bowl of fashion.
The Olympics of fashion. Yes.
It's like when they do those little like docket things. I don't know about
a draft.
I don't know about sports. Draft, I'm about to embarrass
heterosexual check-in. What you call that? Yeah. When they make the list of the fantasy people.
Final Fantasy, right?
Final Fantasy is a video game.
No, it's not Final Fantasy.
Wait, it's like, what is it? Fantasy?
Ooh. Fantasy draft, yeah.
I'm gonna shut up.
Final Fantasy,
like, draft night.
It's the movie, no?
It's the game.
No, that's a
game. The video game? No.
When there's a lot of blood.
Destination.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood.
Leave the hetero stuff to the heteros.
Honestly.
Homophobia strike 2. Homophobia strike number 2.
Honestly, I'm going to let him have that strike. One. I'm going to let him have that one because...
Yeah, that was very stupid of us.
Yeah, my bad. Okay, so on the American side, like, I feel like I'm in a video game. It's like, let's get ready to rumble. And they're, you know, like, dancing back and forth. On the American side, we had Oscar De La Renta, Bill Blass, Anne Klein, Halston, and Stephen Burrows, who was the only Black designer. King. And then on the little rinky-dink French... Actually, let me not say rinky-dink.
Right, don't do that, because they got some heavy hitters on this
heavy
list.
Heavy hitters.
So they were not playing.
On the French side, they had Yves Saint Laurent, Hubert de Givenchy, Pierre Cardin, Emmanuel Ungaro, and Marc Bohan of Christian Dior. And
which, okay.
Okay.
Not to be stupid,
yeah.
But bitch, I thought Yves Saint Laurent died in, like, the 20s. Like, I thought that, I was like, he was alive? He was alive, like, in the 70s?
Another Google, when did Yves Saint Laurent die? Did I get, like, some bad facts?
No, he was in it. I was just surprised because I thought he was much older.
I agree. Like, oh, he died in 2008. I agree.
Wow.
I thought he was up there with, like, Balenciaga, like their original Balenciaga.
Yeah. I just, you know, we're going to get into, I mean, maybe we'll do a series on the European houses because I'm really astonished at some of these, like, timelines.
Oh, yeah. I agree because I think it's, there are so many, like, brands that are, like, engraved into our knowledge because they are before us. So I just automatically think they were like old, but they're not all of them.
Yeah.
And looking at these like two teams, without obviously we know the outcome or I know the outcome, but if you had to choose who you think would have won or whose work you know more of,
French. Whooping that ass.
Like, a lot of these, like, if I'm being honest, a lot of these designers, like Oscar de la Renta, like Anne Klein, Halston, they don't have the same, like, same punch as someone says, like, Yves Saint Laurent.
But you know what? Yes, and I think that is just because, like, even as someone who with no formal fashion education, just the discourse and like the resources available to learn about the histories of these houses always skews towards European houses. Very like honestly, like I am ashamed to say this, but I do not know enough about Halston. I know like in passing conversations how important he was, but just in getting into fashion, I just feel like I never came across interesting or, you know, special moments from American designers. So that's definitely something that like I need to educate myself on more.
I agree. I think I've like learned more honestly within like the last year. And yeah. Ryan Murphy, I'm not going to give you credit for that, because what was that Netflix show? Don't talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
Don't talk to me. But yeah. I think out of this list of people who, on the American side, the person with like the biggest name would be Oscar de la Renta, since his brand is still around. But Halston at that time was.
Anne Klein is still around too.
Yes.
Didn't
she die? Well, I mean, the brand.
Well, yeah. The brand is around. Yeah, I don't know about Miss Anne personally, but the brand is still around. But then again, it's probably a completely different focus than what it was in the 70s.
Definitely. But yeah, looking at this list, if I had to say like designers who I find more like personal attachment to, it would be like the French designers. Like I love Pierre Cardin down.
Yeah. Like,
but still, you know, they're going to show up. They're going to do what they had to do.
Right.
So another thing that's like very important to note, and which would be more important as we go down, is the kind of like breakdown of who they were like going with. So like they invited 42 models total from the US side, 10 of them being black. So 10 out of 42, that's not a great ratio.
That's, well,
but for the time,
for the 70s, that's a good, it's a good ratio, but obviously the fact that like the black designer brought all the black models is like the issue here. So, but you know what? He had the foresight.
He knew
to bring the girls. Yeah. So.
Because Stephen Burrows, he like at that time he was like the black designer of the time, and he was doing a lot of like very interesting things, which that kind of set the scene for current day now.
Would you say just in terms of kind of like accolades, would you compare him to like a Christopher John Rogers? Just in not in terms of design, but in terms of like industry acceptance. Like, you know how Christopher John Rogers is our whimsical, theatrical, you know.
Yeah,
he's the one who's holding the flag.
I think I do see that comparison, not like design wise, but like you said,
just in terms of how the industry like totes them as like, this is our, you know.
Yeah.
Not even saying this in the shady way, just in terms of like how the industry perceives.
Exactly. This is the acceptable one. This is the one that like, we cannot deny your talent. So
exactly. You are so sickening. We cannot even downplay
it. Exactly. So yeah, I would say that. So some of the models that were included, there were 10 models, but the ones that are very important to the story are Pat Cleveland, Billy Blair, Bethann Hardison, and Norma Jean Darden. Mm-hmm. All 10 models, I would have to say, were very important, but those are the ones that like stormed and made the lasting impression. As you look,
the showgirls.
So leading up to the show was a fucking disaster. And they got to Paris.
As it often is.
And the girls had no fucking clue what they were doing. Like, the French were ready for this. They spent like $30,000 on their sets and design, which I'm not sure. I read something that said $30,000, but I'm not sure if it could be more. I could have not looked at
the... Might be the currency back then.
Yeah. I could have not looked at the current side, so I don't for her know. But they spent a lot of money, and the U.S. dolls had no clue. Like, they were using the wrong measurements for their sets. They were in inches instead of centimeters. They had no backdrop.
And they were not prepared.
Not prepared. And the girls were fighting. Like, Oscar De La Renta and Halston, I guess, had some beef. And Halston, like, walked the fuck out.
Of the show or just one of the practices?
He walked out of the practice. And they're like, is he coming back? My King did not show up until the day of the show. For a full day, he was missing.
Right, because just because we're Team USA does not mean that we actually like each other, babes. Because when we get back to America, you're still my direct competition.
Exactly. This is not the Olympics. I don't need you. Which, you did, because, you know, all together. You kinda did, babes. But it seemed like America had it in the bag. But they didn't.
Well, I watched the show studio's interview with Pat Cleveland and Nick Knight. Where she's telling us her story, and there, like, it was clear that it was chaos. Yes. Okay, it's chaos down here, Tom. We don't know what we're doing, and it seems hectic. But I did love hearing her talk about how the black models, when they got to Europe, were treated like goddesses, and they were having this amazing time just running around this gilded mansion and being tended on by like male models and like formal little tights and stuff. It was
perfect, because at that time, like, black models were not being invited to Europe. They were not, had not really cracked the European fashion scene.
Yeah, and it really seemed like they were not only like welcomed there, but also they were like, we're gonna live it up.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to pretend to be stiff and formal like the Europeans. Mm-hmm. Like, you brought the Americans to the stage, so we're going to give American Girl.
Exactly, which I love. There was like another interview I watched of Pat Cleveland, and she's saying that like no one really got paid. They got paid like $300 for the week, but the girls were like, a free flight, going to Paris, I don't care.
Private jet, catered, champagne
and caviar. I'm paid in the experience, which I would do that. If they invited you to
nothing Paris, much has changed. It's been 50 years and nothing much has changed.
The girls are, but the girls are still trying to pay an experience.
But at least in the 70s, I'm getting champagne with my experience.
Right now,
I'll take that over peanuts and packing nuts. I don't know.
It's giving Azalea Banks locked in the studio.
Oh my god, leave Rihanna alone. She is a mother. Okay, she is a mother.
She is a mother, but still, you still locking girls in the studio, Rihanna.
And you know what? If it means that we finally get an album, then lock them girls up. I don't care.
All right. So leading up to it, we know it was a hot mess. Like, Halston did not show up till the day of the show. And they said that Liza Minnelli was a big part of why, like...
Liza. Wait, can I do my Liza, please? Please, let me do my Liza.
Let me calm down. Let me calm down so I can take it. Okay, I'm ready.
Ready? Liza. Oh, my God. Just so pretty. Liza.
You can't even say her last name?
Bitch, I don't know nothing about Liza Minnelli, but I know Liza.
You can't even say her last name. You just got the Liza.
I don't know how she pronounced it. All I know is that that's how she pronounced her first name, and she always wears a sickening black bob or a bowl cut.
Which I wonder, was that a wig?
I feel like that was really her hair.
Okay. All right, I love that.
She was into it. A statement bang.
A statement bang.
Liza.
Soundbite, you're just doing that. Like, it's going to be a please in the hand. But yeah.
That's my Halloween costume for next year.
Ooh, I love that for you. All right, let's showgirl. But they were all, like, down in the dumps, but Liza was like, everyone buck up, you know? Gotta, like, the show must go on. She's like, because she's a Broadway girl. And you do not cancel a Broadway show. Like, even if you die in the middle, someone's just going to come on and take over for you.
Right.
You don't give up.
We will move your body.
Literally. So everyone was like, okay. And Halston showed up day of the show. Like, I guess I'm here. I'm here, dolls. You know, we win. Mm-hmm. Which I'm that sickening. I live for that. I would do that.
Because I'm here for the competition at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't like you hoes. But let's break down the show, starting with the like Europeans who went first, which that shit was
Well, it looked really like beautiful from the pictures. From the like photos, I didn't watch yeah. any. Yeah, it looked stunning. Like the staging was really beautiful. Like they really put budget into it.
Yes, which I think they put a little, like too much effort into like budget and putting on like a show that no one cared about. So their show was 2 hours long. I think 2.5 hours long. That started with like Josephine Baker, which I'm like, where'd you get her from? Like, obviously Josephine Baker is that girl, but like, where did that come from? And she began their show, which was filled with like an orchestra, several rhinos. Why did I just say rhinos? My dumb ass. Several rhinos and like this huge set piece. And what everyone says, like, it was pretty, but that shit was boring.
Yeah. And I don't know if we, just to clarify, so the competition is kind of like all of these designers showing their collections, and then they have kind of like a little themed section, almost kind of like, it looked like a musical, but not like an actual play, just a little like theme and a set piece and maybe like an 8 count to go with it. But the French really took it to a huge like level of production, and it was like a formal orchestra, almost like an opera event.
Each designer had like their little set to show their designs. Their models will like walk down or present, and yes, they had that little show like surrounding it, kind of like transitioning between each designer. And
it's kind of like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, because it's like a big thing in the DMV and then at HBCUs where they have like the modeling troupes.
Yes.
And they have those like exhibition shows where the girls are like giving it to a beat and there's choreography.
Yes. I've like seen them before. I haven't like experienced one, but
I think those are like inspired by this event.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. See, Creighton Way's history.
Yeah, honestly.
But the French, I think the big thing, which we even see now with like European fashion, they're very focused on like couture and focused on like the history, and not so much on like the garments or like putting on a show that people like enjoy.
Yeah, it was relying more on tradition as opposed to presenting something new and providing like an energetic experience.
Yes, which I don't know, sitting through 2.5 hours, I don't know, I'm not sure if I would have been able to like
of
do
clothes,
that.
Clothing and then orchestra music, which is fantastic, but orchestra music makes me sleepy.
Yes, I wouldn't do it. And they said everyone was sleepy. They did not care. But then the Americans came on and they pushed through. Miss Liza Minnelli, come on, do it.
Liza.
Yeah, Miss Liza. Miss Liza like opened their show and they like stormed. Like each set, they said like they had, it was like very jazzy, filled with music. Their set was only 30 minutes. So they're like, we're going to get in, we're going to get out. But that 30 minutes was all they needed.
It's impactful 30 minutes.
Impactful. Going through the show, it was all like very special and like good. But the real impact was when Stephen Burrows did his set.
And, you already know.
And the girls came on. The black girls came on. The black women
came on.
That, we're going to like post some photos, of course, but we want you to like Google this and like just see how like regal and elegant these models looked.
Yeah. And it's crazy because if you look at like the pictures, the difference just in pictures between the French sets and the American sets, honestly, the French sets are stunning in photos. Like, it looks like a huge theatrical, just like a something you paid tons of money to go see, as opposed to the American sets, just in pictures. There's not much set design. There's nothing really happening in the background. It's really just the models and their different, like, formations. But the videos tell a completely different story, and that's really where like the performance aspect comes in, because yes, the French did well in a still image, but this is a show. This was a competition based on how well the models also like carried the garments and told the stories of the garment. So even without all of like the accoutrement of the French, they were able to convey that message with their movement.
Yes. And at this time, like, happening in the US was a sense of like liberation, like, you know, femininity, sensuality, and they portrayed that on the stage, especially like the black models. Like, they were voguing, they were just dancing around.
They were voguing, but they didn't know it as voguing at that time. Mm-hmm. And this is my favorite thing. Again, we're gonna link the Show Studios interview because it is fantastic. But in it, Pat Cleveland is describing walking down the runway with the other black models, and the beat is pumping. And at the end of the runway, they just start to break out into the different movements and try to give, you know, based on the beat of the song. And then she goes, and then we didn't know it at this time, but we started voguing. And nowadays you see the kids making the movements just like how we did back in the day. And it's like, holy shit, like, girl, you really did accidentally just invent this whole genre of performance art just from doing what you do.
That's amazing to be like an icon like that. And to be honest, icon, but like an icon that still does not get their dues.
Yes. And I was like, how is this not like, how is she not being booked with like ballroom houses to talk about this? Like, how are we not, like, who is producing that series? Like, I want the models who invented this art to be in conversation with the kids, the people who are carrying it today. Like,
exactly,
where is that?
If we need to send out some emails, we will.
I'm knocking at your door.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need it.
Answer my emails.
I haven't emailed them,
It's like these, that's why we're doing this, is to like put those, connect those pieces between the fashion world and black culture. And if you don't take anything out of this episode, please look up that interview with Miss Pat Cleveland, because it is a revelation.
It is. And she is like still so excited when she talks about this as if it happened yesterday.
The joy, like, and I know, like, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, because I feel like models after, like, there's like pre-Naomi and then post-Naomi, and we are so stuck on like Naomi and post-Naomi, where yes, she is mother, like, she is, you know, she absolutely deserves all the accolades she deserves, but there is a long history of black models who were fighting, scratching, struggling to pave the way for Naomi to demolish that shit in the way she did. And I wish we would hear more of their stories.
I wish we would, but if I'm being honest, I feel like a piece of that is just because of like technology. Because there's not like video of these girls storming down the runway. But still, they're alive, so we can still hear them. And they're not being booked today. I'm not sure if they wanted to retire, if they would refuse, but I feel like
there's always that too.
If the right designer, probably a black designer, tried to contact them, they would come out.
That would be sickening. I would love to see a revival of like 70s models and even 60s. I mean, 60s models are up there in age, but I would love to see that still.
If you see any of these 70s models anywhere, just know Simple Size Media called it, and we put it out in the universe. We're manifesting.
Right, we're putting out our, like, we have no rights to this intellectual property.
No,
but in terms of complaining on Twitter, we do retain the right for that.
always. But the models did amazing. They didn't close the show. I think Halston closed the show because he was like, he won
the biggest name.
He was a diva, so of course, his show was good. But it was clear by the time that like Stephen Burrell's set came that the U.S. won. Like, the girls were screaming.
Yeah, the crowd was living for them.
They love them. And of course, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, we do what we do.
We do what we do always.
We do what we do. And it's crazy because that mindset is literally validated anytime we go back and look at history. Mm-hmm. Like, we do, the girls do what they do.
The girls do what they do.
Okay. And you take it, you nitpick it, you water it down. But again, we are just circling right back into like black models bringing this like culture and this soul mm-hmm. and this rhythm to the runway. And really, when I was watching the clips, it kind of reminded me of the Hanifa show yes. that was in DC yes. with all of like the lights and the staging mm-hmm. and like the way the models, like especially with like the big ass, something about having that big ass jumbotron in the back yeah. of them, it was like it's giving performance exactly. and I'm just so excited to see that come back.
I agree. Will we? I don't know. I don't know if we'll see it come back.
I mean, Miss Hanifa held it down.
She did.
Like, Miss Hanifa, I love you forever.
I love you forever.
Love a black woman from infinity to infinity.
Wait, I have to do it just like that. Love a black woman love from black infinity to infinity. Yeah. You calling a bitch? Just kidding. That's the other edit. But on that note, we're going to take a little break and we'll be back to summarize our thoughts. And we are back. Ooh. We broke down the most like eventful night in fashion or fashion history. I may be like being a little dramatic with that, but it was very eventful.
I mean, impactful for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, not deny.
So much happened after this show and like really like set a lot of trajectory for so many people. Like, first, I would say, like, Pat Cleveland spoke about this in several of her interviews, that black models after this were like booked and busy. Like, this really shaped their career, and I think shaped the shaped black models just being in Europe at all. Like, there's that quote when she's talking about like the girls on 7th Avenue, they were never booked internationally. They've never left 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
But after this,
it gave them like it gave them validation in the European markets. It kind of elevated them past like, okay, you're just like a, you know, it because the whole situation gave like, okay, we're entertaining the dumb Americans. Yes. But the fact that the black models were able to add another dimension mm-hmm. to the clothing gave them like the validation in Europe.
Yes. Sure. Because before this, we didn't speak about this, but like, in Europe, when they were doing like haute couture, they literally just have their models like standing almost like a mannequin, and like they just
yes,
go,
you're a mannequin.
They just go, oh, I want that one, I want that one. There was no show, there was no production, there was no walking. But after this, mm-hmm. like, wait, we can sell a garment by like interesting ways of like movement. And it was yeah. the influence of these black models that really changed a lot of what we see in runways and like walked us into the idea of like the Naomis, the Tyra Banks, and even yeah. like the other models that like are known for like some good walks.
Yeah. Pat, she actually brought up a very interesting point. She was essentially saying that in her heyday in like the 70s, that the models were kind of regarded as more individuals yes. as opposed to nowadays where like a designer and a stylist will come up with one look mm-hmm. and they try to replicate that look and that aesthetic on all of the models. Yes. So it'll be uniform across a collection as opposed to back then where the models were being, I mean, after this event, the models are being casted more for what they brought mm-hmm. to the garment and how they could convey the garment. So that kind of reflects in the styling where each model gets different styling for that's based on like the emotion
yeah.
that the outfit is trying to portray. And I was like, oh my God, like that is absolutely true. In that way, the runways have become less diverse mm-hmm. because they're trying to make everyone a Bella Hadid.
Exactly. And a lot of them are getting hired now because there's also been another shift. It was like, okay, what's your social presence like? What yeah, are you as now they're wanting like the models to bring like notoriety to the show.
You have to bring your following. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You have to add your validity to the show as opposed to the show validating you.
Mm-hmm, agreed. Which very weird to me. But another way that it changed like fashion is this put like American designers on the map. Them like winning showed to them, okay, not only do these designers like can put on a great show, but mm-hmm. they can create some garments. They can design and have creative ideas. And I think it made it so people realize, okay, they're not dumb. They're not like unimportant. So Miss Eleanor Lambert's mission came to fruition.
Yeah, America had a point of view and they were able to convey that we weren't just reiterating whatever the hell Europe was doing. Mm-hmm. And we had, you know, definitely our own perspective. Yeah.
There was an interview and they were talking about how at the time, a lot of American designers felt like they had to like live up to the Europeans. They had to like design like them. They like, you know, like the little redheaded stepchild, like, okay, I'm trying to like get mommy and daddy's love, which is the industry.
Because I mean, it's undeniable. Like Europe created like the fashion industry and the fashion system as we know it. And I've always thought it was because European countries treat artists like actual, like they treat it like a career, like they treat it like art is a valuable contribution to society. So the fashion industry has just more support from the population, but then also like the governments in Europe, as opposed to the US, where at first and back then it was just seen as something super frivolous. So all we can do is emulate Europe because that's what's actually successful.
Agreed.
And we see a little flip-flopping of that.
Yeah, now things are very different. I mean, obviously we've seen some prolific American designers, but a point I want to touch on, which is very interesting to me, is I feel like without this event, we would not have seen any American designers, one, break into Europe or be the head of any like European houses.
Oh yes, absolutely.
There'll be no like Tom Ford Gucci, which is one of the most prolific Americans at a European house.
No, when the cursed Met Gala happened, the cursed American Met Gala, where everyone was like, American, the theme is American. What can Americans do? I'm like, but American designers have given European houses some of their most iconic eras. Yes. So why are we doubting the validity of American designers?
It's insane. Y'all gag
over Tom Ford's Gucci every week.
And I think just because we don't, right now and in the past, we still have like this special hold or like care on like Hakator. Even though not many people like
are doing it,
and but not many Americans are doing Hakator, so I feel like that's why they still try to be like, oh, what can Americans do?
That's still considered the pinnacle of the art
form. Yeah, which I don't Hakator is special.
Yes, it is. It's, I agree. I don't disagree with
it. It is like the y'all pinnacle, but like not everyone can do a Hakator collection, and not everyone should.
Not everyone exactly.
So I'm not gonna push it, but. One thing that's very special to me, someone who deserves a shout out as an American doing something special at a European brand is my king, Daniel Roseberry at Schiaparelli.
Yes.
Because that man is from Texas.
I mean, Texas.
What you got in Texas, Yeehaw, Dawes?
King. Yeehaw. Stop playing with it. Don't make me pro-American right now.
Yeah.
Don't make me pro-American right now. Like, stop playing with him.
Daniel Roseberry, I want you to hear this. I at you all the time. He recently looked at my story. I know it's because I added him. I know like this, the way that story mentions go, you can just like accidentally click on it.
Yeah, you're just
he didn't respond, but still you saw it. You know how much I love
you. You saw it.
You know how much I love you.
Like, I like to think that he actually snooped on your page for a little bit. I said,
exactly. He probably did.
I would love to, you know what? And I support you in that delusion. I really do.
He's a king, and one, an American doing Hakator, which we don't see very much of, and he's doing it amazing. Like, Schiaparelli is one of the most amazing, like, houses right now. Phenomenal. Yeah.
Moving art.
And another person that deserves a shout-out and is really important is, like, Virgil Abloh, because even though, like, one, for Louis Vuitton, like, menswear, but Off-White is in Paris. Like, they're in Europe.
He did it.
Which is very, I realized that, but I didn't think about like, yes, as an American designer, he didn't place his, the head of his place.
If you think about his career trajectory and who he came up with, Kanye, and the obsession for institutional acceptance, it makes sense.
It does make sense. But Virgil wouldn't have been able to like, you know, be international like he did if this event didn't happen.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
There's been a lot of impact. But I have some fun questions for you guys. Are you ready? This is the Kiki moment. This is very important. We're gonna do a little draft. Final draft. Right. I got that right this time.
No.
Final draft, bitch. No.
Fantasy draft.
Can you repeat it again one time for us, Tone?
Fantasy draft.
Fantasy draft.
A fashion fantasy
draft. Fashion fantasy draft. Okay, do you think it's possible for a like little design off like this to happen and have the same impact?
Yes, it can happen. Will it have the same impact? No. I don't think so.
I agree it would not have the same impact, but I don't know if it could happen. Because I think if you... There are so many, like, more markets now for fashion. Like, how do you decide two teams? Because right. I think being, like, America and, like, Europe is cuts out it's, so many people.
Because who are you going to pick? Right. I think the hardest part about producing this event would be picking the teams.
I agree.
And getting the team members to agree to be on said team.
Now, no shade to my design friends, but those big designers now, I feel like they have more egos than they did back then.
Egos, and I feel like there's not really, like, there's a competitive spirit in fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, whatchamacallit still doesn't fuck with Celine.
Yeah.
There's still, like, beef in fashion, but there's not really America versus mm-hmm. UK anymore. Yeah. So what would we like base the beef off of? Like what would be the big competitive
angle? I think
angle
it would have to be like fun or like a fundraiser. Because initially this was a fundraiser. Yeah. So someone like there was some reason like ooh, I was gonna say something really bad. But I was like something would have to like blow up or like someone would have to like prolific would have to like be dying. It'll be like their last dying wish.
Andre. If we did it in honor of Andre. If we did it in honor of Andre.
That would be amazing.
Because Andre would have lived.
He would have lived. And so many, he knew all the designers.
But you know what the other thing is? That the reason why I actually don't think it might happen is I feel like, especially with last year, brands have figured out that they can milk money out of us mm-hmm. without having to be competitive yeah. or be innovative. Like, for example, like all of the fucking collabs, mm-hmm. like yes. instead of being innovative, you're just mashing two intellectual properties together. And I feel like we would never get those big names mm-hmm. like a Huberto de Givenchy or whatever. Yeah. Like, we would never get those people because the creative directors at the head of those namesakes are not like yeah. in the same mental space as designers in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Like they're not hungry for it. They know people are going to buy whatever regardless.
I agree. It might have to be like a random draft. Like, say you want to be a part of it.
It would have to be an emerging designers draft.
I would love that.
It would
that.
Have to be emerging designers, because which would be sick.
I would love that because there are so many designers. Like, what a point I was going to make is that it can't be America versus Europe because what there's so many Asian designers that are killing it.
Would clear.
And like to take clear. Them out. And then also, like, I think there's been so many like emerging like fashion capitals. Like, yes. like. Not Germany, Belgium was put on the map. So even though that is still like Europe, is that's Europe, right?
I mean, it's a white people.
It's Europe.
Seoul is considered a fashion capital too.
There's so
South
many
Korea.
Places. But yeah. if I was going to like make, I'm trying to think if we were going to make like two teams.
Harry Potter style, school versus school.
Okay.
If you did fashion school versus fashion school, that would be... the top fashion school from like different yeah. countries, and then they submit like collections, or
that would be
you can
sickening.
Even have like the graduating class work collectively to develop a collection and go. Where is our production company?
Honestly,
Sample Size Media is now a fashion events production.
It really is because we have the ideas. Like, oh, all the school hosted by us,
and then so it would be a platform to like display the new talent, mm-hmm. but you're not setting it up as like a competition yes. between the actual students. They're working on a team.
That's amazing because everyone knows like we when it's time for these students to graduate, like we're looking at your graduate collections and they're placing like, oh, who's gonna be next? They're like hiring them to be to
look
work.
At that platform Up Next Designer. Exactly. They basically built a whole brand off of like highlighting accommodating these kids who are coming directly out mm-hmm. of fashion school. Like, literally, they, like, I'm pretty sure they only post like graduate collections to their page, yeah. which is really giving visibility to some amazing artists.
That's this would be so good. If you don't follow the Instagram account at Up Next Designer, you really need
everything
to.
We say on this podcast also is trademarked and the intellectual property of Sample Size Media LLC. Play with me if you want.
Really, because I, my Twitter fingers work. I will stop. I will knock at your door as well.
You heard it here first. I'll buy a plane ticket if I have to hop out overseas too. I'm not afraid of y'all.
Yeah, by listening to the podcast, you actually sign an NDA, so you can't discuss any ideas. Period.
This is an NFT NDA. Period. You are.
This is an. We are minting this podcast.
An NFT NDA. Don't play with me. Your earwaves okay. are like signing this NDA. Don't put me on mute now. You already listen.
Listen. TM, TM, TM. Trademark, trademark, trademark.
We already okay. here.
If we say TM after we say it, means it's trademark.
It means we own it. Okay?
That's how, it works. That. I don't know.
Or you can just buy us out. Give us, you know, $30 million. We'll split it and we will disappear from this planet. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
That's lowballing us.
Right? That's this is an amazing idea that can go on for years.
I did just lowball the gang. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all right. But okay, besides that idea, if we were going to like just team up some designers, let's do, like, who would we team up?
Okay, my fantasy draft All-American would be Christopher John Rogers, obviously, mm-hmm. at starting quarterback.
Now you lost me. Don't say starting quarterback. I know what that means, but, like, don't do positions.
He's the one that throws the ball.
Yeah, okay. I know no positions besides quarterback, and, like, the I'm not even going to embarrass myself. Okay, keep going.
Right, next. yeah, this is hard for me because honestly I would play for Team London because I mean Simone Rocha and Richard Quinn are like my obsessions team, right now. Yeah. So it's very difficult because I honestly I think I would be Team UK.
Yeah. It's hard. I'm like, do we need to like break
think
down
of the, your draft? Who's your draft?
Do we need to break down the barriers and just do like our favorite designers? But that would be like too stacked. Right. That'd be too stacked. But
I would not be able to do it.
If I was doing American designers, a team of Americans, it would be Christopher John Rogers, like you said. It would be Marc Jacobs.
Oh.
Marc
yes.
Jacobs has to be there. It would be Tom Brown.
Wake it up. Wake Tom, it up. Wake
Tom
it up.
Brown would be wake my it up. Quarterback. Wake it up. That's my quarterback. Wake it up.
That's valid. Valid.
Who else? Hold up. It's like a real, honestly, it's like real crap.
Promo Goering, the last two collections, like the one that they just showed, and then the one that they did like 2 years ago, where it was all like the whole motif was like black, white, and red. Yeah. With like the oversized suits and stuff mm-hmm. and like the classic, like that's my bag too. Yeah. Like I was like, you know what? I need to get more into what you're giving because I very enjoy your perspective yes. too.
Oh, some other designs. Hanifa, Miss Hanifa. We need some women here as well because.
Yeah, I fucked up. That should have been my first draft pick.
Yeah, because on their original like team, there's only one woman, Miss Anne Klein, and they were hating on the mm-hmm. girl. Because their women designers are just as important and having some great perspectives.
And I would love to see what she creates on like a grander scale, yeah. like almost like on a more couture scale. I would love to see what she does.
Because her last collection did have some like more grand.
She's
ideas.
Dipping her toe in it. She's definitely dipping her toe away from ready to wear, yeah. and I'm excited.
That dress made of like denim. Oh come on, don't play with me. Don't play with me. No. All right, so that's a few. We need one more. That's five. One more designer.
Why is this so hard? Do I really not like? I'm so undereducated in American designers.
I think it's yeah because there's so many designers.
Fucking Daniel, we're pulling Daniel back. Okay, get your ass back to Texas.
I'm sorry, King. I don't know why I forgot about you.
Right.
Yeah. Come Bring on. Back. Daniel Roseway. It's about where you geographically were born. It's like when you're trying to be president.
My nigga, you are born. It's not even like you were born in like some flyover state. You were born in Texas. You were an American, bitch.
Yeah, Daniel, get back here. Daniel, get back here.
Yeah, for sure.
We got you.
I think that's a start. That's a solid starting lineup.
I think so. Like, I'm really excited. Imagine, like, oh, I'm about to, like, drool. No, just imagine like what Tom Brown does with like menswear and like blurring those lines with.
No, it's crazy, yeah. Bitch. Tom Brown is so good. I thought that nigga was British.
I know.
I thought that nigga was British this whole time.
I don't know when he was born, but he is not like.
I thought that was a British brand. I think because something about it gives Britain.
It's because he stopped. He decided to stop showing in New York City. Like he was like, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
And he went to like the UK. He was born in Pennsylvania. What you got in Pennsylvania?
Oh, bitch. He's like right there.
Right too. There too, yeah. But I think he went to London and he's like, these are my homies.
Okay. Well, yeah, that does make sense. If you were born in the US but had your fashion education overseas, yes. You probably have more of those influences.
But imagine like him as like a baseline as of a collection. But
and then like the colors of Christopher John Rogers.
And the silhouettes, plus the like metalwork and like the pseudo gaudiness of what Daniel does with Schiaparelli.
And the vixen sex appeal. Yes. Of Hanifa.
Because Hanifa, it's so hard, like, when talking about Hanifa and Hanifa the designer, but yeah. Hanifa the designer knows how to play with the body so well, and, like, what she was doing with her last collection, and it really gives me the air, like, as far as, like, production, gives me the air of, like, shows that we don't see anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, the...
just another fantasy dream idea from Sample Size Media LLC. Trademark.
This is an NFT NDA for your ears.
We are going to take a break and then we are going to wrap up this episode. And we are back at the end of this lovely episode about the House of Versailles.
The Battle of Versailles. Yeah.
The father, the son, the House of Versailles.
Oh, okay, Gaga.
The House of Gucci.
I love this episode. Yeah. I think this is such an important topic that the people aren't talking about enough.
Absolutely. The fashion history, I have been just loving learning more and more. And like, yeah, of course, we always want to like kiki with what's happening now in the scene. But it's really good to look back and see like where this movement and this industry has come from.
Especially the Black fashion history, because that does get pushed to the wayside a lot more than it should. Because we're setting trends. We are like pushing things. We are making things better for a lot of y'all, so can't forget us.
All right, so that is the end of episode 22 of Sample Size Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you leave a like, a review, a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and tell a friend to tell a friend, because it really helps us out and it helps the network grow. If you want to catch up with everything Sample Size Media, we are on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sample Size Media. Show notes, references, all of that good stuff for this episode will be on samplesizemedia.com. Any other last thoughts, questions, goodbyes?
Happy Black History Year and happy Fashion Week.
Yes, and we will see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.